Who is this guy? 30 years ago, in 1987, my wife and I and four little girls were looking for a church. And we, this Holy Spirit was moving on us, and we came here to this church and started attending. 30 years ago, those four girls grew up. They're serving the Lord. One of them's in the back in the sound booth right now. But this was our church home. About 10 years down the road from that or so, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and says, "You need to get your preaching credentials." I said, "Why would I want to do that?" And he said, "You don't have to know that." So it took me 6 years, but I got credentialed as an Assemblies of God pastor, and I started filling in churches in the area. Then when they needed help or somebody needed to take a break, a pastor, I figured out at one time there's 12 different denominations that I've pastored in, 12 different denominations. 6 years ago, one of those churches said, "We need you to fill in until we find a new pastor. Can you do that for a while?" And I said, "Well, I would. How long do you think it's going to be?" And they said, "It could be 6 months." I said I would, but I want at least one Sunday a month that I can come back to my home church. Well, that was 6 years ago. They quit looking. And so I'm pastoring in Armor most of the time, but I come back here and you see me sitting once in a while. So it's interesting how the Lord works. And when we listen to Him or we obey, He leads us to places we never thought we'd go and things we never thought we'd do. And so this morning, when Pastor asked me whether I would preach this morning, I said, of course, I would jump at it just for the chance of coming back to my home church. But then I always listen to the Lord. What are we supposed to talk about? And I've said now in, how long has it been since 2003, however many years that is, I've never written a sermon. The Lord's written every one of them. He always gives them to me, and that's where we go. Well, today we're going to do Prayer 101. When you go to college or MTI school, they number courses, and 101 is the most basic course. Then you get up into 200s and 300s and 400 courses and stuff. But 101 is where you start with the ABCs. Or another way to look at it is my wife is a music teacher, and when you give music lessons, the kids learn to play songs and things like that, but they also have to play the scales. They have to, the scale, the way I understand it is, I'm not musical, is you start down at the bottom and you play each note and play up the scales and do the scales. When we go out for athletics, athletic coaches, you got to do the basics. You got to be able to handle the ball. You got to be able to be in shape and run. You got to do your what do they call laps? They don't call them laps, but you got to do the basics. And so all through our life we get the ABCs. You got to do the fundamentals. You got to be able to do the fundamentals before you get into the elaborate stuff. And so then we talk about prayer and say, everybody pray, 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 pray. Well, do we ever get back to the basics on prayer, and do we ever look at the ABCs of prayer? And so today I would challenge you to think about tweaking your prayer life. We all pray, and sometimes it's, oh God, what happened, or what did I do now? And that was a prayer. But we do it on purpose. And so I hope we can tweak our prayer life today by something that the Lord will show you that you can maybe improve on. If not, then we're great. And I just needed to practice, okay? But praying, some people say, well, praying is talking to God. I'm going to argue with that a little bit, or disagree with that. If you think about when now we've got answering machines on our phone, and you call somebody and they aren't there, they don't answer, what do you do? Well, you leave a message. Hey, you know, I'm going to come over for dinner. We're coming at 12:30. Will you be ready? And hang up. That's the way some people pray. God, that's it, we'll see you. Well, I think prayer should be more like talking with God. How many people do you visit with where they do all the talking and you never get a word in edgewise? And you say, well, that was really a fun conversation. They did all the talking. Well, we do that to God. And we just, no. And we tell him everything we want, and then that's it. Part of prayer, I suggest, is also listening to what God is telling us. And there are times when we don't ever take time to listen. So part of it, our prayer life, should be just shutting up and listening. Spending some time with him away from the busy. And that's what I hope Pastor John and Natalie get to do, is just get to some time away now with the day off and celebrating their anniversary. But we get in a rut of how we think things are or should be, and we go with that and we don't listen. So God wants to tell us stuff. Not only do we tell him stuff, but he wants to tell us. If we're praying, we should be talking with God. The other thing is, people talk about the body position. Well, you got to fold your hands. So maybe we got to kneel down. Maybe we got to take our cap off. Well, the position of our body is not as important as the position of our heart. We need to be in the right frame of mind, the right spirit, the right way of thinking. And it's up here already. In James chapter 1, it gives us a little bit of an outlook on this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave on the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything, because such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. So when we pray, do we pray to God knowing that God is listening and that God hears and God answers? Or is it just a wish? A prayer is, we're praying to God who we know is there and is able and is hearing it and can stand it. That's, if we're not, then our prayers are kind of wasted. Because how many times if somebody, you pray for somebody, and you say, did God answer it? And, well, I hope so. That's not faith. If we don't believe that he answered, we have no business praying. Now, the other side of that is that God answers the way God wants to answer. A lot of times we pray and we want him to answer our way. That's not a prayer. It's, here's what I need, God. Here's why I want you to answer this. And I want it now. We're going through the drive-up window quick. I need it. The answer. God answers the way he wants to. And we need to realize that. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, not yet. Wait. We don't wait well. Another way God answers, or is unconventionally. I've got a story here that is supposedly true. Dwight Nelson recently told a true story about a pastor of a church. He had a kitten that climbed up a tree in his backyard and then was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed and offered warm milk. The kitty would not come down. The tree was not sturdy enough for him to climb, so the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car and drove away so that the tree would bend down, he could then reach up and get the kitty. That's what he did. While checking on this progress in his car, he figured that if he went just a little bit further, the tree would be bent down sufficiently so that he could get the kitten. But as he moved the car a little further, the rope broke, the tree went bong, and the kitten instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood asking people if they'd seen this little kitten. No, nobody'd seen the stray kitty. So he prayed, Lord, I just commit this kitten to you and to your keeping, and he went about his business. A few days later, he was at the grocery store. He met one of the church members. He happened to look into her shopping cart and was amazed to see cat food. This woman was a cat hater, and everybody knew it. So he asked her, why are you buying cat food when you hate cats? She replied, well, you won't believe this, Pastor. Then she told him how her little girl had been begging for a cat, but she kept refusing. Then a few days before, the child begged again, and the mom said, okay, if God gives you a cat, I'll let you keep it. She said, I watched my child go out in the yard, get on her knees, and ask God to give her a cat. And really, Pastor, you won't believe it, but I saw with my own eyes a kitten suddenly came flying through the sky, paws outspread, and landed in our backyard. God answers prayers the way He wants to, not the way we want to. And we need to realize that when we pray, we're praying to a God who is able to answer. And then we need to realize that He's going to answer His way, not our way. Now, we can suggest what we would like, but remember even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was praying, He said, God, if this cup can be passed from me, take it. But your will be done, not mine. If it can't, I want to do it your way. And that should be the way we pray. Your way, not mine. And that's, you know, we can say, okay, yeah, I got it. Well, and think about this. And I had I've prayed with a lot of people. But pastoring, I've had a couple that was had cancer. The guy had cancer and was taking treatment for, he took treatments, chemo treatments and stuff for a year, year and a half. And I pray with them, and I prayed with them, and I prayed with them. And one of the prayers, we actually knelt in their living room floor, and both of them gave their hearts to the Lord. But I prayed that he would be healed. And I had his funeral. And I look at that and I say, okay, Lord, we prayed for healing. That wasn't the healing that I was wanting. I wanted him to be healthy and back with his wife. Now she's alone. But then I listen to the Lord and he says, he's healed. He ain't got any pain. Wasn't the answer, that wasn't quite the way I wanted it answered, but his will, God's will be done, not mine. And that should be the way we pray. So then we've got to be realizing that when we're praying, are we doing that? The other thing that we see in James a little bit further down in chapter 4, it says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. You want it so you can spend it on for your own pleasures. So how many times do we pray because this is what we want, this is what we need, this is what we think we need, and it's our idea, instead of, okay, God, this is what I think I need, but you answer it the way you're according to your plan, not mine. So that should be background in our prayer. One, we got a God that we know is able. Two, that we know He's answering. And then three, He's going to answer it His way, His time, when He wants to. Now, the other thing is we need to realize is that our prayers last forever. When you pray, or some of us are results of prayers of our forefathers, our grandmas or mothers or somebody who is already in the grave, prayed that we would come to the Lord, and they didn't see it happen while they were alive. But our prayers continue on. So when you pray, realize that that thing is powerful and it's going to last forever. And we see this in Revelation. When we look in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, it says when this is when the Lamb Jesus, they said, nobody's able to open this seal and see what's in this. And they said, yeah, the lamb, the lion of Judah is able to open it. Jesus is able to open it. And then it says here, and when he had taken the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Those prayers were in heaven when Jesus was there opening these seals. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open the seals. Jesus. So our prayers last forever. When we pray, we need to realize that. This isn't for this week or next week or this month or till we see the results. It may go a bit longer than we live before that prayer is answered. But there again, it's according to God's plan, not ours. So then we look at prayer, and we can see that there are different kinds of prayer. And I would categorize them, or we'll categorize them in five different groups. One way we can pray is just to be praising God. Praise Him for who He is. God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Give His only Son, our Lord. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. We can be praying and praising Him. Now, if we don't have enough, what do we say to God? The book of Psalms is full of praise. If you look in Psalm, a lot of the Psalms are praise. Psalm 116:5, the Lord is gracious and righteous and is full of compassion. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you His servants, praise the name of the Lord. You need ideas of how to praise the Lord, we go to the book of Revelation, and then there's plenty of examples in there of how to praise Him. But one way we can pray is just praising God for who He is. He is God Almighty. Praise the Lord. That is prayer. Another way we can pray is to thank Him. How many times do we give a graduation present or a birthday present or a Christmas present or something, and, you know, they never even thanked us? Or how good it feels when somebody says thank you for what you did. They knew what, they realized what we did, and they said thank you. And so it makes us feel good. Don't you think God wants to be made feel good and say, look at that, I answered their prayer and they never even said thanks. Just wait till next time. Good thing God doesn't have a fist and want to get us. But there's nothing wrong with saying thank you, God. And there's, if you don't do a prayer journal or a prayer list or something, I would encourage you to do that. You could say, well, I can remember my prayer list. Well, you're smarter than I am, because I don't. I forget. But the other thing about a prayer journal or a prayer list is that you look at that and you say, oh, that was answered. That was answered. Oh, that was answered. All these prayers that were answered the way you wanted them to when you look in your prayer journal. So that's a reason to do a prayer journal. But realize that there's nothing wrong with saying thank you to God for answering a prayer. Even if it wasn't exactly the way we wanted, He still answered it. What if He said, no, I'm going to not tell Him thank you? Maybe you needed to know. How many of us have raised children? And we take our children and they'll do you say yes to your child every time? They don't know what's good for them all the time. Sometimes we have to say no for their own good. Well, guess what? Our Heavenly Father's in the same situation. Us little children don't always know what we're supposed to do, and we don't always get it right, and sometimes He has to say no to us for our own good, or not yet. But we can still say thank you. So thanking God is another part of our prayer. We should be say thank you. A third kind of prayer is repentance. Repentance is kind of like I'm sorry, but it is, I don't want to do that again. I messed up. And here again, we can take our children as an example. And how many times does a child mess up And they say, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. I shouldn't have done that. I don't want to do that again. Well, we do that to our Heavenly Father also. He has stuff for us he wants us to do, or how he wants us to act, or what he wants us to say, and we mess up. I'm sorry, Lord. I blew it. I repent. I don't want to do that again. Help me not to do that again. That can be also a prayer of repentance. We don't want to do that anymore. We're sorry we've done that. So we've got praising God. We've got saying thank you. We've got being repentant. The fourth kind is intercession. When we intercede for somebody else, and we see examples of that in the Bible, we see that in our everyday lives, and when you're going through a valley, there are times, if you have ever been in a sickness or in a real slump, and the last thing you want to do is pray. That's a terrible way to be, but we get that way, where you get overwhelmed with what's happening. And thank heavens, our brothers and sisters in Christ will lift our hands up and help us pray for us, intercede for us. And so we can intercede for people around us and pray for them and be lifting them up, even if they're not able to pray or even if they're not praying. Because we know our God hears our answers. We know who God is. We know He answers prayers. And we can be praying for them. We can be interceding. So you look at those four, and none of those are about us. The fifth one is a petition where we ask, I need this, Lord. Well, how many times do we get hung up on that one and all we're doing is thinking about ourselves and our problems and what we've got and what we want and how we want it answered, and we forget the other four in our prayer life? And I would encourage you, each of you, to examine your own prayer lives and how much time are you spending on, I need this, I need this, I need the gimme prayers, and how much of your time are you spending on the other four areas? Thank you, praise you. Intercede, repentance, I messed up. You see these? And all of that is part of prayer. And all of it is not a one-way street, but a two-way street. What's God telling me? How's He answering? Am I hearing? Am I taking time to hear? And I would challenge you that is how we should approach prayer, so that the results come from God the way He wants it to, and that He sees our lives and our picture and our situations better than we do. I mean, I think about that couple I talked to you about, and that's not the way I would have wanted that answered. But it wasn't up to me. God is God. He still takes care of it. I'm going to close with a Civil War ballad that drives home the need or the point of intercessory prayer. It's called And So They Prayed. A young golden-haired soldier stood in the ranks of the brave. The captain said, guns to the shoulder, and they quietly marched away. His blue eyes once thrilled his mother, but now they were filled with fear as he heard the cannons thunder and the field of battle drew near. But at that moment, far away, a mother whispers, Amen. 'Cause she thought of her son, so she prayed, and oh, how she prayed for him. His young hands once were steady when he'd hunt by his father's side, but now they trembled as he readied his gun and the enemy came into sight. But at that moment, far away, a father whispers, Amen, 'cause he thought of his son, so he prayed, and oh, how he prayed for him. How quickly his legs once carried him when he'd run to his sister in town, but he could not run from the bullet within, So he fell to the ground. But in that moment, far away, a sister says, Amen. Because she thought of her brother, and so she prayed, and oh, how she prayed for him. When the letter arrived, it was stained with blood, and it was sadly received. The gathering around were the ones he loved, and they began to read. But in that moment, far away, a young soldier whispers, Amen. Because he thought of his family who would hear of his wounds, and so he prayed. Because how he prayed for them, because he knew they must have prayed for him. We have no idea, I don't think, of the power of our prayers, and especially our prayers of intercession for other people. I would challenge that we underestimate the power of our prayers, the power of our God and what He can do. And so don't ever quit praying for someone, a loved one, or someone that is on your heart that doesn't seem like anything is happening or you're not seeing it. Don't look at it with your natural eyes. Look at it with your spiritual eyes and know that God is working. Sometimes people are not ready to be healed, be fixed, be whatever the case may be, because they're not ready. We may be praying, God is ready to answer, but we're not ready because we're not in the right ready to receive. We don't see the whole picture. We don't see what God sees. And so we need to continue to pray and continue to pray with faith that God knows what He's doing, even if we don't. And He's answering, even if it isn't the answer that we wanted or when we wanted it. Keep praying. So we've got the five kinds of prayer. Praise, thanksgiving, repentance, intercession, and then our own gimmies, our own petitions, the things that we want. But prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. We're going to take communion in a minute. But I pray, Lord, that each of us have received something from this message this morning that we can apply to our prayer life to tweak it in some way, fashion, or form so that we can be more effective in our praying or in our believing our prayers are answered than we have been before. As we looked at these basics. Now, Jesus told us to pray. Jesus told us that I am the vine, you are the branches, you need to stay connected. Jesus gave us the example of praying in the garden and saying, Your will be done, not mine. He gave us the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord's Prayer says, Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. But your will be done, not mine. We pray that. He also took his disciples on that last day, last week of his life, and had the Last Supper with them. And he instituted the sacrament of communion. He broke bread, and he drank fruit of the vine, wine or grape juice, whichever you use. But he said, do this in remembrance of me, as a reminder of me. As a remembrance of what I've done, and we do that today, 2,000 some years after Jesus did that, as a reminder that we know what Jesus did for us on the cross, that we know what He accomplished, that we know He is our Lord, that we know the Holy Spirit resides in us, and we are taking that as a reminder. For ourselves, I think it's also a reminder for the devil. Hey, devil, I'm with Jesus. I know what He's done for me. And so we take communion. Ushers, would you want to come forward and pass out the elements? We in this church say, if you are a believer, you are You do not have to be a member to take communion. We're welcome to take communion. We'll also ask that you hold the element until everybody's been served, and then we'll take it together.